Recording
Recording in
progress.
progress. Jacobson, I know it's family helping you up. It's hard to think that it's been 4 years already. I have clear pictures in my head, like yesterday. I'm standing here without any focus. Now, after Mario should be here doing his short Torah halacha, close to the then we go over there and learn with him. So, stand up. It's just it's unbelievable. And yet, so much has happened since then. The Rav was nifter before Corona, which seems like a nightmare from a lifetime ago. And now he's not here with us now. Not so grand. And so many of us long to hear words from him now, especially in these kinds of circumstances. And it's painful that he's not here. And excuse me, a little emotion. Especially in these kinds of circumstances, that's when he's shown he'd have these tremendous insights. I know he would, and I just don't know what they are. I do know, in addition to those, there was one answer he had for every question, no matter what the question was. We need to learn more Torah. So I was, of course, 100% on board. And David Stein called me a few weeks ago and said, I know it's awkward in the middle of the summer. Everyone's preoccupied, but Rav Yahrzeit's coming up and we need to learn. So what are we going to do? I thank David for being tremendously supportive. So we discussed it a few times with a few people, and we decided to make a siyum on Masechet Beitzah, where those of you who remember the Daf HaShavuos here, when we came to this tefillah, that was the first Masechet that we learned from this tefillah, was Beitzah. And David was part of that year also, so he'll be in the same. And over the years, the Rav had also mentioned, maybe a few times more than I would have liked, that he was more impressed with the women's learning than the men's. And there was no way we could do something here without finding a way to include them as well. So, of course, we all know how the Rav felt about Chovos HaLevavos. And so we thought, what better thing to do than Chovos HaLevavos? That's how we knew Chovos HaLevavos also. And so women would also be involved, and men also learn from it. And what better way to do that than by listening to the Rav's shiurim? So that's what we did. We divided up the shiurim, the Rav's recordings, and everybody listened to all of those. So that should be included also in the scene. So now go have a scene. Let's start.
Say time.
You have to finish these.
And thanks for everybody who participated in both Judy. So the last Mishnah in Beitzah speaks about you all know that we can shech behemoths on Yom because of Okal Nefesh. Question is which behemoths can we shech? And the Mishnah gives two classes of behemoths. One are Midbarios, which are more wild behemoths that they go out and they graze, and they go out and they don't always come back. They don't always come back at night. They might not come back for a long, long time. The others are Bisos, and Bisos are what we call more domestic, that they also might go out and graze, but they'll always come back by the end of the night. And we say that the Nivarios, we're not allowed to shech. The Bisos, we are allowed to shech. And why can't we shech the Midbarios? Rashi really seems to go on the approach that the Midbarios, that they're muksa. So that's why we can't shech them. So a little bit into the Gemara, Bryce is brought a Machlokas Rabbanim and Rebbe that basically talks about how long do these Midbarios have to go out before they're called Midbarios. One opinion says they have to go out longer, not as long, but the general idea is that as said before, the Midbarios, you know, that they Midbarios are out much longer and certainly throughout the day, but it might even be for like a whole season or longer. But the point of the Mishnah is that I think the point of the Mishnah is that Rebbe goes under the approach that these Midbarios are Muksa and that he has a very general application to Muksa. So the Gemara asks, when we islay Rebbe Muksa, does Rebbe really hold a Muksa in a general sense? Ha, the Amine, Rebbe Shimon, or Rebbe, may Rebbe, but Shimon, Bar Rebbe, ask Rebbe, Patile, Samara, Rebbe Shimon, Rahu. What about if you have like these dates that they grew on a tree and they're a certain type of date, they don't ripen on the tree, they come off the tree, they're still unripe, and Rashi says you put them in a basket, and while they're in this special basket, they get ripened. So the question is, while those dates are off the tree, they're in the basket, they're not ripe yet, are they muksa or are they not muksa? So Amar Le, Rebbe answered, Ein muksa Rebbe Shimon. Muksa doesn't apply according to Rebbe Shimon, Ella, the Rogros, Betzimu, King Bilvad, except not for the dry, these unripe dates, but for dried figs and for raisins before they actually become dried figs and raisins, but while they're in their process of becoming dried fruit. So what we see is that Rebbe gave Rebbe Shimon's application of Muksa, and the presumption is that he agrees with Rebbe Shimon. So why then is he calling the Midbarios the more wild, as we say, the more wild behemoths, Muksa? The Gemara concludes by giving three possible answers as to why. So the first answer, Ibai Yisema, if you want to say, Hani Nami Kipurgos, Mitzimukim Dami, that the Midbarios are like the dried figs and the raisins. The second answer, Ibai Yisema, if you want to say Rebbe Shimon, the Amar, that Rebbe was explaining Rebbe Shimon's opinion, but unlike we said before, the Leis Lo Svira Law, but he doesn't actually hold like Rebbe Shimon, and so therefore, that is why he says that the Midbarios are Muksa. And the third answer, Ibai Yisema, if you want to say the Dibrei Rabbanan, the Amar, that Rebbe said that according to the Rabbanan, which D ain Muksa. For me, I don't look at Muksa in a broad way. I look at it in a more narrow way. Specific things are Muksa, but according to you, Odu Nihas, you should at least agree with me, Hecha, Diotos, Ros, the Pesach, and Nichnasos, Yidvia, Mishona, that whichever animals that they go out and they graze, say during the time of Pesach, but then they don't even come back until the first rains of the year later on, to Bisoshain, that they are the more domestic behemoths, not the Midbarios, and therefore they're not Muksa. The Amulei Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan, they answered to Rebbe, Lo, Midbarioshain. They said, no, they are the Midbarios, and therefore they are Muksa. So Hadran Allah Mashin, Uslika Le Mesechis Beitza. Hadran Allah Mesechis Beitza, Hadrach Alan, Daitan Allah Mesechis Beitza, the Daitan Alan, La Nis Meshe Unah Mesechis Beitza, La Sis Meshe Unah, La the Alma Adain, the La the Alma the Asay. Hadran Allah Mesechis Beitza, the Hadrach Alan, Daitan alach mesechet beitza, v'daitach aman. Lot nis neshet nach mesechet beitza, v'lot nis neshet nach. La de oma, hadain de la de oma de asa. Hadron alach mesechet beitza, v'hadrach aman. Daitan alach mesechet beitza, v'daitach aman. La nis neshet nach mesechet beitza, v'lot nis neshet nach. La de oma, hadain de la de oma de asa. On the base Israel, the Nia, one anachu v'te'atzeinu, on the base Israel, one Yehudei Shemecha, the Lomdei Shvasecha, Vishma, the Oivai, Techat Mini, Mitzvasecha, Ki Olam, the Olam, Ihi, Libi, Samim, Echukecha, one Lo Ebosh, the Olam Lo Eshkach, Pikudecha, Ki Ivan, Ki Yisani, I taught the night, Lamdani, Bukecha, Amin, 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 Salva Ed. Odim enough, Nubufanach, I deny Lohinu, the Lohavasinu, Samta, Felkinu, Yoshe, Vase, Amidrash, Lo, Samta, Felkinu, Yoshe, Ranos, Shaanu, the Hame, Mashkimim, Anu, Mashkimim, Lidivre, Sora, the Hame, Mashkimim, Lidivarim, Potato, Anu, Amelim, the Hame, Amelim. Anu amelim in the cobbling safar, the heim amelim the enam cobbling safar, anu ratim the heim ratim anu ratim the chaye hawamaba, the heim ratim leave the air shachas in the mark, yata elohim toride leave the air shachas, andre vanim, the mirma lo yechetsu imehem, the ani evtach bach. Ihi batzon of the mefenecha adenai lohai, kashem sha azar tani lefai masefes beta. Kain ta azvenu lehas kio masechtos safarim achirim ule simon ule mod ule lamed ule shmor ule asos ule chaim es kol dibre samud tura secha b'yava uzakus kol hatanayim v'amorim v'samide chachamim yalod li ule zari shilo samush hatoira mipi zari zera zari adolam. This is Kayim, it is Halech Becha, Tanche Oscha, Beshach Becha, Tishmor Alecha, Bahakit Sosa, Ki Sesi Hecha, Ki Bi Yeru Yamecha, Yosifu Becha Shinos Kayim, or if Yamim Yuna, Smola, Osher Becha Oz, Adonai Oz, the Amogitain Adonai Bre, the Samoga Shalom.
Israel, the Imran.
So I mentioned before how the road was lived there before Corona, before the massive that we're in now. And when Hashem took away one of the leaders, Palisrael, so he gave us another one. During Corona, the Bachrim from Yeshivas, the Kutzlarets that are learning here, the girls from seminaries, they're from Kutzlarets and they're learning here, there was a very real likelihood they wouldn't be allowed to come in. And someone rose up and took it upon himself with the help of others, but largely himself, to make sure they could come, they could learn. And now we find ourselves in Mothama, and again he rose up. The amounts of chesed and stuff that he's been doing have been massive. So I'm sure the love is shepherding shemen, slapas, and shemen. Now we'll hear from the Mothama of the audience.
My father always used to say that, you know, in the beginning, you're talking Divrei Hesped, but as the years go by, it's time for more of remembering in order to be Meskazik, in order to remember the things, Midos, things that we could learn from him. There's no better place than the place that he loved best in Eretz Yisrael, his shul, with the people that he loved, the people they felt connected to, and the thing that kept him going. So, Yashikayach. In last week's parasha, we saw that there was a Nisayan of Abraham Avinu, the final Nisayan, which was the Nisayan of the Akedah. Yitzchak, which is Akedah's Yitzchak. Yitzchak didn't really have that Nisayan. Yitzchak wasn't really part of that Nisayan. So it seems to be that was the Nisayan of Avraham Avinu. Avachari Yitzchak was really the main one that was having Nisayan. He was the one that was going to be getting shechted. He was going to be the one that was going to be on the Akedah. Rabbi Ruchin brings down that the definition of a Nisayan means we have a choice. Now, what does it mean he had a choice? And where did Avraham Avinu have a choice as opposed to Yitzchak? The Medrash brings down in Emor, the Medrash says that, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Aleilu La'ila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him to shecht him. On the other hand, we have Hashem told him, Kibi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazara. The Medrash brings down that if Avraham Avinu would have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu this stira, and he would have said, what's going on over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had to tell him that you're right, I never really planned on anything, and you're right. Again, you're right. What I meant was, La'aleh u'la'ayla, and I never meant that you should shecht him. And then the whole thing would have, there wouldn't have been an Akedah. The Mata Ephraim brings down that when we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, before you blow the shofar, you should cover. You should cover the shofar in like a cloth or like a bag. And the reason is because in order to remember that by the Akedah, Avraham Avinu covered Yitzchak. Why did he cover him? In order that he was scared that a rock or a branch or something would fall, and it would make a move or a scratch or something that would possibly the carbon. And therefore, he covered Yitzchak in order to make sure that nothing, there was no scratch. Now, L'chayra in Hilchos Sfeikus, I don't think you had to worry about such a thing. Plus, why is it so important that we cover the Shofar in order to remember what's this grace of Mila that Avraham Avinu covered Yitzchak? Another thing I saw brought down is by the beginning of the Akedah, right when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that he should go to the Akedah, Vayivaka Atzei Oila, and he took it with him. Now, he didn't have to take the Atzei Oila with him, schlep Atzei Oila from Chevron or Be'er Sheva, where he was going from, all the way to Har Moriah. But he was scared that maybe there wouldn't be branches there. Maybe there wouldn't be enough eights in there. Now, again, in Hilchas Sfeikis, I don't know if there's such a chiyuv. The answer is, as probably figured out, that the Nisoyan of Avraham Avinu was to be wanting to do the mitzvah. The Nisoyan of Avraham Avinu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from Avraham Avinu, was to make the choice that he wants to go ahead and do the mitzvah, not like Yitzchak. Yitzchak, Hashem told Avraham, Yitzchak, go bring a carbon. He didn't get that much of a choice. Hashem told him to do it. He's going to go. Avraham Avinu had ways out. Avraham Avinu could have asked the questions. Avraham Avinu could have, who knows, something would have happened. Probably not, but something could have happened. A rock could have fallen. There wouldn't be enough eitzim. But yet Avraham Avinu wanted to do the mitzvah. Avraham Avinu's goal was not to try to get away with it. And that was the Nisayan of Avraham Avinu. The Nisayan of Avraham Avinu was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see, I'm going to run ahead and do this no matter what, because I want to do it. We all know one of the things that my father had, that he taught so much to everybody, was mitzvahs are not a burden. Mitzvahs are things that we want to go ahead and do. There's a simcha. There's an excitement. Mitzvahs is something that I want to go ahead and do. Mitzvahs are not something I'm looking to try to get away from. Mitzvahs are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, which I want to be able to do them. I want to run after them. I want to make sure that I'm able to do these mitzvahs, even if in theory I can get away with it. Even though in theory I can do things that could make it not happen. I think that's something that we could learn from. One more point. This past Shabbos, I was by the Torah Mesorah convention. Rabbi Elia Brudny spoke. It was like a question and answer. And somebody asked him, what do you talk to kids? Now, I imagine it's not the same thing in America as in Eretz Yisrael. But kids are nervous. There's campuses. There's a lot going on. People are nervous. People are, what could I tell my kids? How do I talk to my kids? And Rebellion said, the lesson that we have to teach our kids is that you know why, and every kid should hear this, is that you know why they hate us and you know why they're doing this? Because we're the Am HaNivchar. A kid should be proud of what's going on. A kid should feel we're the Am HaNivchar. They're jealous of us. They're scared of us. They know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us as the Am HaNivchar. And that brought sinner to the world. But the message that a child has to hear, and the message that we have to be miskazik on, that we have to feel, is what's going on now is because I'm proud of what's happening. I'm proud to be the Yid. I'm proud to be the Am HaNivchar. I'm proud to be the person that everybody's trying to get to because of how special I am. And that's something that we can definitely always take from my father. And it's definitely something that we could learn. And the Mitzvah Shem will be a Yeshua in Eretz Yisrael. I will be zeichet to see him very, very soon. Yes, I'm missing.
So before the Rav was nifter, we know he had some medical issues with his foot, and for a long time he wasn't able to come to shul. And you know how much he cares about us, how much he cared about us. And he didn't want to leave us without someone here to take the reins on site. It's a major decision. Put so many years and so much effort, and so much time into us and into the shul. How do you let someone else step in and help when needed? I didn't know that it would continue for about a year afterwards also. Like it was nifty. But on the other hand, it was such an obvious decision. Rav Jacobson has been with the shul for years, giving shiurim. He was close to the Rav for years. He was close to us for years. We know what a Talmud Chacham is and how much he cares about us and she cares about the shul. And so the Rav turned to him. And he stepped up and he continued to do so. The Rav was no longer with us. So I think there's no one who could be more appropriate to give us the great chizuk and more than bitachon in the times that we're in now. The Yubi Mishnas the Rav and the James of Shulchan. First of all, Rita, this is Bahas Malibowitz, Michael. At a time like this, there isn't my justification to get up and try to justify the title of the Shia in the Chazak Emunah B'Tochen in these times, is by first clarifying that there's no mokum to be trying to be original. There's no mokum for someone like me to share thoughts, feelings, insights, but only to be in the role of a general mashke to try to convey the yesodus that we've been taught by Rabbi Seinu to use the kelim that we've been given to navigate something like this. And that was Siyata Dishmaya, to be able to do that. So first of all, just to give a focus on what we'll be discussing is not why. Not because we can't address that. We've alluded to this on Shabbos. There's a way to do it, conditions to do it, there's a time to do it. But right now, the question is for what? What's the purpose? Because that is something that is halacha l'maaseh for us right now. Where are we meant to be going with what's going on? What does Hashem want from us here? What's the expected response? The starting point is always, and therefore I'm going to apologize. It's going to be repetitive. We'll be repeating things. I've heard this from the Rav over these weeks. Now, Vadim has been discussing these things. So, again, we're not trying to be the Chavish here, but to try to hammer home the basic Yesodus that we need to be working with now on a regular basis. So, we're working with two premises, two fundamental premises here. Number one is, things don't just happen to the Jewish people. That's premise number one. Premise number two is, things don't just happen to the Jewish people. A separate point. The third number one is, of course, the starting place is always the Rambam Hilchos Tanyos, who tells us that there's never such a thing as saying, okay, these things happen. The question might be, why did Hashem let it happen? But, as the Rambam puts it, but so was when he cried in Kurds. It happened because of different natural causes. And what's happening here, both in terms of the tzara and in terms of the haras panim that we're seeing now, it's almost impossible to say that. It's almost impossible to say that. But it's always possible. It's always possible. So this is number one. The understanding that Hashem is coming with a call here. And this is what the Rambam lays down as a mitzvah to say in HaTorah. Not to step back and say, okay, we don't understand what's going on. There will always be the layers where we don't understand what's going on. But there are always the layers that we are expected to interpret it as a call. So this is number one, which is based on the understanding that Yisrael am kuroi v'don't go through olam hazeh. Yifrat en Eretz Yisrael, hine Hashem elikecha bo, we are Yisrael am kuroi v'don't. And anything that the Jewish people are going through is something that Hashem is moving them through, bechastoy, berachamov, for a purpose. And the question for us is, what is our role in the situation? And this really is your side number two. Things don't just happen to the Jewish people, the separate ones. The first point was things don't just happen to the Jewish people, as in Hashem is guiding this in a very deliberate way in the context of his love for us. And then your side number two is that we don't move through it rapidly. Things don't just happen to us. If Hashem puts us through a situation, we move through it consciously with a sense of mission, trying to appreciate, okay, Hashem is calling us to rise to the occasion. What is the call? What is the call? Well, any time that we're put through something, any time that as an am, and as a yachid as well, here, it's on both levels. But there's a call to come out of it transformed, to come out of it elevated, and to kiviyachol justify Hashem's purpose. Kiviyachol. And if we'll say, 1 minute, what about those who aren't here anymore? They're saying that the purpose here is, as far as purpose goes, right? We're not going back to what. But as far as purpose, it's to bring out an elevated Klal Yisrael. It's to bring each of us to a new level. As we'll discuss. What do we say about those who aren't going to be able to do it? What about those who we lost? And this brings us back to another part of the purpose. That question also bounces back on us. That question also comes back to us. Because to a large extent, we're working with another premise here. The understanding that Olam Hazeh is a very small piece of the picture. And the karbanos who went, right there, we're not attempting to plumb the depths, but we're attempting to address the layers that are relevant to us. And they were chosen as karbanos to spur Klal Yisrael to greater levels. And therefore, to a large extent, they're either neshama, they have their own ilui neshama. But then there's another layer of ilui neshama that's actually in our hands. These people can go down as Nezakei Arnavim, as teachers of Klal Yisrael, as people who bought Klal Yisrael, elevated Klal Yisrael, brought Klal Yisrael that much closer to Hashem, perhaps moved all of Klal Yisrael, moved all of the world toward the ultimate ilui. And that, once again, to a large extent, is in our hands. Are we going to grant them that? And what they have in their own right, they have in their own right. But are we going to grant that? And to what extent are we going to grant them that added layer of those who actually are mekarev Klal Yisrael to where Hashem wants to go? Things that perhaps will be beyond their abilities, beyond most of our ability to achieve in a lifetime. And now we're given the opportunity to put them in that place as Maryam of Klal Yisrael. So, first of all, again, based on Dvarim Shekibalnu, let's first note, what did Hashem show? What has Hashem been showing us? What has Hashem been showing us? And really, this is part of an ongoing theme over the last few years. Ein oy milvado. Ein lo na'amir yishayin. Elo alo bin yishab Hashem. There are natural apparatuses in place that we tend to feel secure with, safe under the knowledge. We have a very sophisticated, very advanced leading army security system, intelligence system, and how the whole thing, just in a way that made absolutely no sense, just fell. And here is where we want to keep away from the thinking of
What is the minigoilim aspect? The minigoilim aspect is the thoughts of the natural cause and effect. What is it exactly that went wrong? How did it happen? These are things that we want to run away from like fire. We want to see here how Hashem is coming and showing, let go of your natural crutches. It's only me. That's all you have to rely on. That's all you should be sensing. We have our Yiddish boys out there. They are out there being with Nefesh, doing the very, very frightening hishtabis. And they need our chizuk in terms of the direct chizuk. They need our chizuk in terms of our fueling of their efforts, which we'll get to as the session. And we want to deal with that way rather than, okay, Lamaisa, we do have that might. We do have the koyach v'oitzem yad, that now we're going to cream them. Now we're going to show them, we're going to teach them the lesson that apparently they didn't cut before. I heard that that's actually how one of the heads of the system responded. Challenged, said, one minute, didn't you say that Hamas is, didn't you say a couple of weeks ago, we don't have to worry about the Hamas because they're a little top. They're scared. We don't have to worry about them. They're not a threat right now. His response was, that's right. It was a mistake. We thought they had learned the lesson. They hadn't. Now we'll make sure they do. This is what we want to run away from. This is what we want to run away from. The natural cause and effect, and to just see that Hashem is making a statement to you. Now, the obvious question to that is, so you're telling me that it was all Hashem. So what do we see? That Hashem did that. What are you telling me? Okay, let's get back to the point. But first, let's finish rounding out this point. We've been through Corona. Anybody at home? Anybody attuned understood, right? You know the full depths of what Hashem was doing, where he was leading things. But there was a layer of it that was so obvious. The pole was so obvious. This is my world. This is my world. I am taking that world back into my hands. And the question was, the challenge was, are you capable of moving yourself into a world where I reign solely, of letting go of the world you knew, of the world you felt that you held in your hands? Are you capable of living comfortably in a world where only I reign supreme? And there are no givens. Everything. You're Mekayim. Mankind was Mekayim. Take control of the world. It was actually Ratzon Hashem. Mankind should take control of the world and put it to its use. And yet Hashem was coming and showing, but at the end of the day, you may have to just let go of it all and feel comfortable living in a world that belongs to me. And where I call the shots, and you have to be comfortable operating it. When this was a lesson that anybody attuned, I believe that everybody here in this Mishnah is experiencing that, was feeling so consciously at that time. And I remember my feelings when the vaccines were coming out. So on the one hand, there was the Hidul Hashem Kitov Kilo Lechazne. On the other hand, sharing my personal sense of, does this mean that we're quickly just going to move back into, okay, we have taken back control of the world, or Hashem, we can be comfortable now, we'll be able to fly again, make simchas, and do what we want, when we want, as we want. The understanding was that was actually a call to take it to the next level. Hashem gave us a crash course in, this is my world, can you live in my world? Can you live in a world of Einoy Mevada and Hashem Melech? Can you be comfortable living in that world? Another question was, okay, Hashem said, now I'm going to slowly hand back some reins to you. Hand back the reins to you. Are you capable of still maintaining that awareness, of taking the challenge to the next level? We learned the lesson. But are we able to hold on to that awareness when Hashem let us back in? Not a simple call. Not a simple call. And here, we're befraught. But as we're seeing, people talk about, is it safe? Stay in Eretz Yisrael, go to Chutz La'aretz. It's almost laughable when you hear about, it's safer there. Right. You have to lock your store from the inside and then open it up when people ring the bell. Campuses, v'chule. However, Hashem is basically showing that I want my people to be letting go of their sense of natural security and feeling I'm capable of living in a world where you are in my hands. Where you're in my hands. And here, if we can move ourselves into such a world, an elevated world, a world where we are living as Am Karoivo, where we're living in a world of Hashem now, then, as we said before, 1 minute, you're telling me I should experience an Ein Oid Milbade, so Hashem did this. You can already appreciate that there's a whole different meaning to if, well, the systems that were supposed to be in place failed, or if Hashem is moving Klal Yisrael through an ordeal in order to bring them up that much closer to Him, in order to bring them to a higher notch. And as we said before, if we're capable of responding to this call, then we are giving that much more meaning to the hakrava of the karbanos. We're putting them into that place of those who are mekarev Klal Yisrael, closer to Avim Sheva Shemayim, as He's leading us through history. We don't know exactly what's going where when, but we do know that He's pulling us closer to Him, pulling us closer to Him, and like the Chovas Alvada says, letting go of any senses of natural security, letting go of our own abilities, and seeing through it all, and just seeing Hashem. Now, if we look at it in that way, we'll say, okay, perhaps, now, we look at those who are out there at the front lines, doing the Hishtabas for us, being Moisei Nefesh, and we see, okay, let's see Hashem operating through them. Or however else Hashem will decide to do. Rather than what we have a mighty apparatus. And we're giving them that much more security. And we're giving ourselves that much more security. David HaMelech went out to battle. He just tried to get into the shoes of David HaMelech at war. So the Messiah Sishan says, most people, when they go to war, the great fear is, bring me back the shalom. David HaMelech had a different feeling when he went out to war. What was plaguing his mind when he went out to war? What was plaguing his mind is, chas v'shalom, maybe one of the enemy will get away. I won't have killed them all. That would be a pgam in the Kiddush Hashem that I am meant to implement. So what was his tefillah? You see how Sishon says. It says, let me chase them all and let not one of them get away. Let me not come back until I finish them all off. So I'm carrying the Dvar Hashem. My success is a reflection only of Kvod Shamayim, not of my might as a warrior. And David HaMelech himself expressed this in another possible deal, where he says, the way I think of that is the touch of this puzzle. If you picture a person who's in the jungle and he's surrounded by natives with spears, 70 natives surrounding him, and he has to face off against them, it requires a lot of bravery. But if he's in a tank, and they're coming at him with their spears, 20 against 70. There's no contest to fall. You don't have a chance. Why? He's in a tank. There's nothing to talk about. It's obvious that he's going to destroy them. This is what David HaMelech is expressing. B'cha'aruz g'duy. You see David HaMelech at battle, chasing a whole platoon of soldiers. And you would see unbelievable bravery. David is telling him there's no bravery here. B'cha'aruz g'duy. I'm running in Hashem. As he told Goliath, he simply experienced how this is Hashem carrying. To take this to the next part of the discussion, if we appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting us through these times is a call to elevate the world that we're living in. And of course, really the most initial reflexion is a call for tefillah, a call for tshuva, a call to reach out to Him. So let's appreciate that this is a time, an Ace Sara should also be viewed as an ace of opportunity. A zman, another moyed, another time in our lives that's been given to us for the purpose of taking advantage of. It's a time with its own rules. It's a time we have to be in a certain mindset, just like any of the other zman throughout the year. We have itim of simcha. We have itim of solemnness. We have itim of kirbas Hashem through mourning. We have Beinam Atzorim. And we have eating of Kiras Hashem and of growth through a Tzorah that Hashem is putting us through. And here we can allow ourselves to say that, yes, this is a time that I was going to call, just like Pesach has its assays and lois assays. It's a tikkunet, kriyuti matzah. So we may say that the lois assay that is Tzorah, the lois assay of a time like this is complacency. Is, yes, settling into a reality of okay, this is what it is now. We know the process is in place, and the army is fighting them, and etc. And there are American warships coming. Like the obscuring of the natural cause and effect, which is obscuring the sense of Ein Lanu Al Mi Lishayim. But it's a time, Vaita, of the loisa say being complacent. The realization of another point. So, like we said before, the automatic response, the automatic interpretation of an Ace Sara is it's a call for tshuva and tefillah, as the Rambam lays down for us in the beginning of Hilchos Taanis. But b'prat when we're talking about a melchama, there's another realization. And that's the realization that when we are talking about milchama against enemies, it's the realization that our state in Eretz Yisrael now, the front now, is really reflective of our state in Eretz Yisrael in general, which is really reflective of our state in history in general. It makes no sense naturally. We don't really have a king naturally. We're surrounded, a little nation, here in a small strip of land, surrounded by, well, exactly what the numbers are, probably hundreds of millions of people who would like to wipe us out. And the thought that we can hold our own through our own devices is ridiculous. Makes no sense. The kingdom of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is another manifestation of the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael le'Yishayim. It's part of the Nes of Klal Yisrael in general. It's the same Nes how in 2,000 years ago when we were a defenseless nation without our own place and with the most capable and mighty nations in the world trying to wipe us out. They tried valiantly. And at many points in history, it may have seemed like, I'd say it's basically a matter of time. The past 400 years, we're still there. And those mighty nations are on history shelves. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is the representation of Hashem in this world. And the world can work against it The Klal Yisrael is here. But that's our Zchus Kiyum. That's our Zchus Kiyum throughout all the ages of the Golos. And that's our Zchus Kiyum in Eretz Yisrael today. It's because we carry the Or Hashem. And this is another point that we have to be conscious of. The achrayus that we carry toward those who are there in the front lines, who are out there in the sakana, and who are battling for us, being Meisa Nefesh, we have to realize that chalila, chalila, to lead them to fight a natural war on the basis of whatever apparatuses we may still be holding on to. But no, they are there representing, as we said, the Chalut do. They are representing Klal Yisrael's kiyum as the carriers of Or Hashem in this world. And we need to be fueling that. This is what we're told. We have no guarantees that Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael will always be fine, never anything to worry about. We're told that our standing in Eretz Yisrael is going to reflect our mutualistic estate. And this is something that's mutual on us. It's mutual on us to fuel their efforts. And this is something that we're hearing from many of the soldiers who are consciously expressing this, and want to hear about chizukim that we're doing, fueling the effort, fighting the actual battle, and thus enabling them to go and carry the material side of it, and to actually carry the nitzachon of our efforts. What we find in the Gemara Bifrat as a schus beis milchama is the Karach of Torah and the Karach of Achdus. So adding these to the 2 points that you mentioned earlier as the most basic bullet points in terms of responding to an Eis Tzara, which is Tfilah and Tshuva, as the Rambam talks about. And what's Bifrat emphasized, basically, Beis Milchama by Chazal, is the Karach of Torah. How it's that, how David HaMelech, as the soldiers would express, we know that our Hatzlacha and battle is going to be fueled by those who are in Yerushalayim, fueling it with their Korach HaTorah. So, right, we come back to the Lois HaSeh of complacency and the sense of Achrayas. And the other point that is emphasized is the Korach of Achdus. It says that even in the Dorei Shel Acham, Sheod Yavid Zohar, because of the Achdus that was shown to him. Therefore, in these times also, as we're davening, the tefillahs that we're paying, we should just say so earlier. The same way should say so earlier with the thought of saying it on behalf of God's Klal Yisrael. We should just say so earlier. Klal Yisrael is sitting under an iron dome. What's that iron dome? Say so earlier. It's Hashem hovering over us with his wings. To be living that, feeling that, that's what actually creates those levels of Hashkafa. The more conscious we are of them. We declare Hashem as our Machzeh. Say this, thinking of the soldiers, thinking of the people closer to the borders, the people further from the borders, all of us who are in this Machzeh. And thinking and saying, on behalf of all of them, I'm saying Machsi, I'm using the Lashon Yachid. But as me speaking on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, I declare Hashem as my Machsi. To be operating with this constant awareness, and to be realizing that all this is coming together, all this is coming together to create an Achdus in Klal Yisrael that is elevating all of us as Yechidim and as a cloud to that place where Hashem is guiding us. To that place where Hashem is guiding us. I'm going to tie this up with a Yisrael that appears in a number of places. Mishnah Melio, a Yisrael brings out. We dive in to see this all culminate. We dive in to continue to we dive in to see Hashem's direct involvement in leading this toward Am Yisrael Chai on the basis of Or Hashem, but leading it toward to see it culminate with the full view of Malchus Yisbach Olamei. And to just tie up what we're discussing with it, is a very fundamental yisoid that Avdesla says. Avdesla brings out this yisoid from a number of different angles. He says how we wait to see the gilu, we wait to see an Hashem emerge as Hashem echad, the yakiru kach ma'chusecha, everybody will recognize it. But he says that this is actually a process that begins in the minds of another Jew and another Jew and another Jew. The more we move into a world of Hashem Echad, the more we see that reality, the more we ourselves are living in that reality, in a world of Einoy Novada, in a world of sensing how the cause and effect is our luchniyistic efforts, which Hashem is trying to spur us onto, which is then going to gain us, earn us that much more of His direct involvement, of His hashgacha. The more we live in that world, like we said before, comfortably moving ourselves into a world of Einoy Novada, comfortably moving ourselves into a world that we don't control, but that He controls, that He runs, where He reigns supreme, and being able to comfortably let go of everything else and live in that world. So we're living in a world where there already is that Gimel. That's how Avdesla explains the Gemara that says that the Satan is frightened at the Tkiah Shefa. He's frightened at the Tkiah Shefa. He says, Mashiach is coming. Avdesla asks, not everybody asks. But we all have experience with the Satan. He's a lot smarter than that. He says, no, it's because he's so smart. When he sees a Yid, when he sees a Yid at the moment of Tkiah Shefa, moving into that reality of a world of Hashem Melech, he says, ooh, I'm being crowded out of Olam Hazeh. It's actually happening. It's the stages toward Gilui Malchuso, because there's another Jew who's in that world already. He's in a world of Gilui Malchuso. We can take these prompts from Hashem. Hashem is moving us toward this. Corona has been moving us toward this. The current events are elevating us toward this. Each move into that world, to be setting the stage for Gilui Malchuso, by each of us moving into that world of Gilui Malchuso, of living in a world where in my own personal world, Lord Hashem is Nigla. He reigns supreme. He's running it all. There's no other Kaychus involved. And He is moving me where He wants to move me. And then Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see this all culminate with Chasdei Hashem Adoyim, Gilui Malchuso Aleinu, Inheiro B'Yameinu.
So, when I think about love, I think of him pretty often. What would he do? What would he say? What did he say? What would he hold? So it always comes with a bit of sadness just to think about him missing. And that's particularly acute on the art side. So I hope he's mocking me. There's one nakuda dafka on the art side that brings me simcha. Dafka on the art side, that's what happens. It's when you meet family comes and they're with us. And just to see you all sitting here with us, it just makes me feel like things are a little bit more right with the world. So thank you very much for coming, for spending this time with us. You're our family, we're your family. And so on that note, the one of those family will be going to the kettle tomorrow at about 9:30. And who's interested in going also, you can. Thank you everyone for coming.
All right.